This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at jwright929ESPN. As always, you can listen to all the content here at 92.9 FM ESPN on the radio dial 92.9 FM, or you can listen on 680 AM. But if you're away from the radio dial, you can always stream live on the Odyssey app. Free to download, free to listen. You can even listen on demand. If you miss something, miss a segment, you can use the rewind feature. And with chaptering, it makes it very easy to go and listen to specific segments. So again, download the Odyssey app today. Free to download, free to listen. Dennis Fuller's producing the program for us. Glad that he is with us. My co-host today, my company, as he is on each and every Wednesday. He's the MC of Fun and Games in Memphis. He's also the host of 901 Wrestling. The website is CerritoEntertainment.com. Also, you can sign up for his newsletter at Cerrito.substack.com, on Twitter, on X, at Cerrito. Kevin, good day, sir.
Greetings. Great to be here for a very special edition of Jeffrey Wright and Company.
Lot to get to. I had mentioned at the end of yesterday's show that Wednesday was going to be a big day. It was going to be a big day for a lot of reasons. Number one, as a lifelong professional wrestling fan, I can think of nothing more that I would have always wanted to either. I got to live it out. I got to witness when Roman and Cena signed the contract. Was that Raw or was that SmackDown at the Forum?
I feel like it was a Raw.
I think it was a Raw. I remember Red being a part of it. So getting to witness one in person was a thrill. Today, we get to live one, as we will have a 901 Wrestling contract signing this Sunday, the second big show at Minglewood. Our challenger is going to be the King of Memphis. We've had him on the program before. He is Hunter Havoc. He joins us in studio in just a moment. We'll also hear from the champ, because the champ is here. 901 Wrestling champ Kevin Bless is in studio as well. But Hunter, you've got the opportunity to regain the belt on Sunday at 5 p.m. What say you?
Well, Jeffrey Wright, I'm a little upset. The whole time I was sitting here waiting on you to start your show, I thought that was one of the Make-A-Wish kids with a bad wig. I had no idea Kevin Bless was in studio. No idea. Thought it was just one of the little Make-A-Wish kids that they wheeled out, see Big Havoc, put a bad permed wig on him. As I sit here listening to you tell bad jokes, waiting on you to start my show, because I am the most requested guest for the Jeffrey Wright Sports Hour. That's what you should start saying in your intro.
Well, you know I do.
You should start saying that. You'll be surprised how many people actually listen to this show because they hit me up. They're like, hey, Big Havoc, I heard you on that dude's sports show. And I was like, what's it? Then I got to remind them, you know, Jeffrey Wright. I'll put you over, man.
I do appreciate this is the first time Hunter's been on the program and he's not referenced wanting to be on Jeff Calkins' show. So I appreciate that.
I still want to be on that show.
Correct. And again, what you make the mistake is I booked that show too. I could get you on that one. I'm just saying, there's a little give and take. But Kevin, correct me if I'm wrong, Make-A-Wish patients do not win the 901 Wrestling Championship. So that seems to me to be factually inaccurate, what Hunter just said.
It's very inaccurate. And you hurt my feelings. I didn't know you felt that kind of way about me. But it's okay. It's okay. you pulled a fast one, and that's all right, I tell you. But come Sunday, I swear I'll be the faster wrestler, man. I got you beat pound for pound, heart for heart. And you came in and you didn't shake my hand and you tried to intimidate me, and that's all right. That's all right.
Well, I patted you on the head. I checked my pocket for a lollipop, but I didn't have any of that, so I took my seat.
Okay, huh?
But, you know, I mean, it's admirable, man. You know, like I told another guy that asked me about it, everybody has to have a dream. You know, you have a dream of being a professional wrestler. To somewhat, you made it, you know. The world lost out on a popcorn salesman because you actually made it as a wrestler, but here we are. Sunday, all those dreams come to an end.
It's funny you say that. I was scrolling on Facebook, and I was looking at a match from when I was about 19 years old, and I was wearing my pink and my black, and I had my pretty boy thing going on, and I scrolled in on one of the pictures. I was a hard thrower back then, too big, 205, 206, Jack Chocolate thing I was. And I was scrolling through that picture there, and I seen the old Hunter Fike in the background, and I couldn't believe it. I was like, who is that paying a ticket to come see me? It was you, a 19-year-old me, and a you in the crowd watching me perform. So you say what you want, and you try to play tough, and you play this character, but at the end of the day, you still a fan. You a fan of my work. You a fan of my whole get down, and you bit some of your style from me. We from the same place, different eras, and I was there before you, and you paid tickets, and I gave you your experience, and you sat there with your father, and you both smiled and clapped and applauded.
Hunter, it sounds like he's saying you got the Make-A-Wish experience. You got to sit there and watch him work.
Jeff, let me ask you one question.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you and Cerrito figure out some kind of new cryptocurrency. You know, y'all go to y'all's nerd laboratory and y'all make $1 million. You have $1 million to bet, Jeffrey.
Yes.
Kevin Bless or Big Hunter Havoc?
Well, first I need to see the Vegas odds.
He's probably a 25 underdog at least.
Because then that, I mean, I could get involved too, and then that $1 million becomes $25 million if I'm getting plus 2,500. I mean, then all of a sudden now we're cooking with gas.
Yeah, I mean, it's David versus Goliath in a lot of ways, is it not, Jeff?
I mean, to
describe for the radio listeners who've never seen these guys before in person, which what are you doing? Get out to Minglewood Hall, where they're every month now. 901 Wrestling, get your tickets 901wrestling.com. Come see these guys live. But we've got Kevin Bless. There's a big size differential here between the current 901 Wrestling champion, Kevin Bless, and his challenger, the former 901 Wrestling champion, Hunter Havoc.
We do for sure have maybe like, Daniel Bryan going up against like Ryback type situation here. I mean, there's so much there.
He's a little kid. He makes you two look like the Road Warriors.
I'm more curious. Because now you've got me thinking about starting my own cryptocurrency.
he's getting distracted because he likes to bet.
And then all of a sudden you started throwing a which way would I go? I can't ignore the fact that one person is sitting here with the championship belt and the other is not. And I just feel like there's an extreme lack of respect for what that belt means. A belt that you don't have.
A belt that you don't have. And I say everybody stack their chips on Black, the Giant Slayer. I say everybody come and bet on a world beater. You see what I mean? You see these hands? That's a muscle that Hunter ain't got in his hand. And that's because I choke people with it. And he ain't big enough for to get off from that. And you see this glass right here?
There's a lot of
this glass right here to keep you safe, not me. It's to keep me from jumping over you. Look at Cerrito. He know I do it till y'all dive. I dive over it right now. You came in and thought you were big and bad. I tell you what, though. I got two baby mamas bigger than you. I want you to go home with that. I got two baby mamas bigger than you. I want you to take that home, and I want you to sit on it. I created life with them bigger than you.
We do have 901 Wrestling promoter Tommy Jacks here in studio along with this glass that is separating, which I hope remains separating this side as Bless sits on one side of the
Giant
glass
Slayer,
with Jeffrey and I have the pleasure of sitting next to the King of Memphis, Hunter. Do you have a response to that, Hunter?
I mean, tattletale strength. It's all very cute, I guess, if you like that kind of thing. If you like underdog stories, I guess this will be your story. You know what I'm saying? He wants to talk about history. We'll talk about when he was with 901 Wrestling in the beginning. They were wrestling in horse stables and rodeo halls. You know what I'm saying? They didn't hit the mainstream until they got Big Havoc. Now we're in Minglewood Hall. Kevin Bless, let that sink in. I took you to Minglewood Hall. You're not getting dressed with cows anymore. You're in Minglewood Hall, Memphis's premier spot. You're going to wrestle me in a main event.
I gave Finn Balor like 7-2 suites in Minglewood Hall. It was pretty much the highlight.
Awesome place to watch professional wrestling, Minglewood Hall. 901 Wrestling there now once a month. Again, tickets are on sale for this Sunday, October 20th. It's the October show. It's the start of the 901 Wrestling Classic Tournament, where the winner will get an opportunity at the 901 Wrestling Champion, which we're just here to assume it's going to be one of these two gentlemen.
Well, I was going to ask, do we have stipulations? I mean, what is this? I mean, have we had our attorneys look over the contract? I mean, do we know? Like, is it just 1, 2, 3? And we got no holds. What do we have stipulations? I'm curious.
Yeah, we've got it's a one-on-one match, right? One-on-one for the top title in the territory, that 901 Wrestling
Champion's advantage, because this also would factor into my bet.
Well, of course. I mean, that's you can't win the belt by
disqualification. What possible advantage could he have against me?
If I sell Jeff coin for $1 million and I come in on Sunday, all of a sudden, if I'm getting 25-1, I have some advantage to maybe get involved.
I could have both arms tied behind my back and not.
I'm just saying, if it ends in a disqualification,
in this whole room.
If it ends in a disqualification, Kevin's walking out with the belt.
Hunter, you seen me beat people up just as big as you? What are we talking? Are we going to downplay me like I ain't the 901 wrestling champion of the world? Like I ain't doing this for the whole town? People support me and not you, and that's your problem right now. And you come on radio.
I'm the
you
king talk of the city,
the king
Kevin
of what?
Bless.
Hey, kings get decapitated all the time. It's a historical
their
fact.
Story, yeah.
Well, if you're thinking it's happening Sunday, it ain't.
Minglewood Hall, I walked into that era champion, not you.
I mean, literally, the last king we just crowned, I think, got cancer within like 3 months, right? Huh? Pretty sure. Didn't Charles like?
Oh, we're talking about the yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that goes within 3 months.
I was thinking more Game of Thrones and what
I was. Of course, you were
listening to over here.
Yeah,
but
of course.
Well, the last time they crowned they crowned someone, we basically just decided we were done with the series,
right?
Entirely.
Which all right, so we're here to get down to some business. The contract. Is here.
Oof, do we have pens?
Both men. We're making Memphis radio history here. We have a professional wrestling contract signing live on the radio as Havoc now has the pen and the contract and is going to sign his name for this Sunday's main event. It's going to be official. This is a big, big match, Jeffrey.
Ooh, and dated. Love it.
You've been signing a lot of documents.
Yes, I have closed on a house today. So if you need some advice on how best to sign your name. I also had to sign my middle name for the first time in like 2 decades. That was a new experience for me.
All right, the challenger is signed. Hunter Havoc's got his name on the dotted line for the contract for this Sunday. This is the main event, of course. It's a stat card with the 901 Wrestling Classic opening round. All the opening round action happening on Sunday. Kids getting free. You can't forget about that.
If we're just going on signatures alone, Kevin is going to be a landslide winner.
Bless signing right now on the contract. Kids get them free with the purchase of any general admission ticket. You get a kid in free. So buy a ticket, kid gets in free. Buy another ticket, kids get in free. Kids get in free every show at Minglewood this Sunday. So it's official now. We've got it. Bless has signed the contract.
It is official.
And Kevin, I wish you the best of luck. And Hunter, thanks for coming in.
You believe me, I got two baby mamas bigger than him, right?
100%. I believe 100%. Anything you say.
Yeah.
There's been one person that's came in speaking truth.
Yeah.
And it ain't Hunter Havoc. All right, we are going to take a quick break.
The contract is signed. It's official.
When we come back, Kevin and I are going to discuss the Tiger Basketball Hoops for St. Jude Classic. Also, Mark Giannotto is going to return to the program. He's got a big story up over on Kirby Smart. We'll get his thoughts on Tiger Hoops and more. Stick around. You'll listen to Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Program is brought to you by our good friends at Birdies. October is Golftober at Birdies. That means that if you book online at golfatbirdies.com, instead of the standard rate, you'll get half off the standard rate. Also, don't forget, if you're booking your holiday event, even if it happens in November or December, if you book online during October, you'll still get the October rate, even if your event is happening in November or December. So take advantage of that. Also, want to remind everybody, special event on Saturday. You can help Birdies eliminate cancer and score a fantastic t-shirt at the same time. If you stop by Birdies on Saturday, October the 19th, you will help the Courage Through Cancer organization, as 10% off every receipt from this weekend will be donated to Courage Through Cancer Memphis. Also, the first 100 people to order one of their beers or fantastic cocktails will receive a Birdies Breast Cancer Awareness t-shirt. So those are available up over. You can take a look at those on their Instagram account at Birdies901 on Instagram. Coming up here in about 10 minutes or so, we're going to welcome Mark Giannotto back to the program. He's got a big feature story over at USA Today on Kirby Smart. We'll discuss that with him. But wanted to talk a little Tigers with Kevin before we do that. So last night we have the Hoops for St. Jude tip-off classic. And Kevin, there's something I've been kind of wanting to get off my chest.
So the Tigers fell to North Carolina, right?
They did. But
you got something to get off your chest in relation to last night's.
Yeah. And this has nothing to do with the game.
All right. Nothing to do with the game.
This has been something that's kind of irked me for a few weeks, and I haven't really been able to figure out kind of like what is irking me. It's a lot like when we talked about the Pac-12, when I was like, there's something that's not sitting right with me. And I was like, eventually I'm like, what's not sitting right with me is that Oregon State and Washington State really just brought a bunch of people and made situations messy, and nobody asked for it, and they did it. But something that
you figured it out. You eventually figure out like what is the root of it.
And that's been a lot of discussion about this, and a lot of talk on ticket sales and whatnot. And I realized what really drives me insane is I feel like we are held as a city to an unfair standard. And I also acknowledge oftentimes when you are not the glamour spot, you kind of have to go above and beyond to get events. But I felt like when all of a sudden we were trying to base whether or not this event was going to be successful, it was by demanding people, you know, show out, buy tickets. And I'm not saying that that's not important, because what is obviously most important is making sure that St. Jude gets the money. Right. And that was objective number one. But I also felt like it was kind of an unfair ask if we were going to base whether or not it was a successful event solely based on how many tickets were sold. And I get it. That's how fundraisers work. But the problem that I had with it is not the ask, but it's the if all of a sudden we're going to be judged and held against what did or didn't happen. That's not a fair standard, because I look at so many events that happen in what would be considered glamour markets, and I can always count the empty seats there too. But it's almost like that doesn't really matter. Like, it's just like, if Memphis is going to do it, it has to be filled to the rafters. And that's just not a fair standard. And so I just felt like the entire time, if this was going to be some type of indictment or some type of evaluation on Memphis, I didn't think it was fair. And I didn't think it was fair for a couple of reasons. Number one, yes, it was North Carolina and it was South Carolina women's basketball. And it was Dawn Staley in the building. It was Carolina hoops on the floor with the Tiger floor out at FedEx Forum.
Yep.
It was still an exhibition.
Right. It did not count.
And this was not part of your season ticket package. And I get why it wasn't. It was a fundraiser. I understand that. And I'm excited that we're going to get to give money to St. Jude. But it was also a pretty steep price on a Tuesday night in October when we are not in basketball mode. And basically what? It was announced a month ago, maybe 6 weeks ago?
Right. Like, very little lead up.
And so I just...
We're already in a market that's trying... You've got to figure out how you're going to spend your basketball dollars. Right?
Correct.
Like, that's... You're budgeting. Like, how much are you going to... How many Tiger games can you go to? Can you have season tickets to that and the Grizzlies? Is it a power pack? Where's your basketball? It's already stretched thin, and now we've got this new... Also, I mean, it's great because it's going to benefit St. Jude, but it is... It's new, and it's a new way. Did you budget for it?
Well, and to be clear,
Especially at that price.
I don't want to point fingers at promoters because, like, in the end, like...
The idea is fantastic.
Correct.
The idea of this, I feel like it should... How can we make this the Memphis Maui Invitational? Like, let's make this a preseason tournament that actually counts.
Correct. Let's make this a real tip-off classic, and let's make it with games that count, and let's bring in some big names. And
every single year, Memphis plays in it, and they bring in different teams.
Correct. And so, it really wasn't even, like... the pressure from the people that are putting on the event. It's just, I could sense very quickly this was going to be some type of data point for people to make a case. And that is what annoyed me.
It's not, and making an attendance case, which was the, do you think, like, what was it, 8,000 something there last night, or at least announced?
I'm going to see. I heard 8, but let me go look over at the notes and docs. I'd heard over 8.
Judging this event by the attendance number is, in fact, I saw the pictures. Shout out to Jalen over there at the Isle of Memphis blog. I saw the pictures they were tweeting out of the crowd. I mean, that looked like a crowd to be excited about. Like, I don't know if anybody's breaking down that it was not enough that they didn't get the 16,000 they can fit into the building. But how many was it?
So
did they get the? Did we figure out the announcement?
Broadcast, I didn't see it.
It's a different type of operation because it's a charity, so it's not necessarily the same stat crews and everything working, my understanding, last night that usually would be there for a Tiger game. But if we don't know. I mean, either way, the crowd looked great, and I would say it was a success. Typically we buy or sell or go to Reddit.
Everybody sells short or go to Reddit.
Yeah, would you say it was a success? Do you buy that?
I'd buy it.
I think it was a success. I mean, the Tigers lost. The Tigers lost. The building wasn't sold out, but, I mean, if you were trying to start momentum of something new that could, A, benefit St. Jude and the Tigers at the same time, and be something that people want to go to, right? And I think that's a part of it, is you can't just expect people to want to go to it immediately, initially, with such a short amount of time.
Correct.
Leading up to it. Like, we're talking fall. It's fall break in the suburbs this week. People had plans to go out of town before this game was even announced. And, like, in future years, if this always happens at a certain time, then people can kind of...
Right, when it can become a tradition. And, like, you build it into your calendar.
All right, what are we doing for fall break? Well, we're going to go to the St. Jude... Well, probably not, because it'll probably be later in the calendar, hopefully. But anyway.
Yeah, I'll look for the number.
I feel like this is the number. The picture to me that I saw from the Isle of Memphis blog of the crowd, I was like, to me, Tuesday night... way away from basketball season. Like, the only basketball talk the city has had outside of this, a little bit for this game is talking about the Grizzlies.
Yes.
Like, the Grizzlies preseason action has started. Like, we're so removed from the Tiger season still. And obviously the game didn't count. I think success. I think we both agree it was a success last night. And hopefully they figure out a way to expand it and enhance it to make it more enticing for more people to want to go to.
According to Chris Boyson, the St. Jude ALSAC senior VP, 87-39.
All right, that's a good number.
So we're just a shade under 9.
I mean, it was an exhibition game, so I don't even know if it proves any points, because we always talk schedules on this show, especially on this show, that a quality opponent, will people show up? And if 8,000 plus showed up for an exhibition game if that was an exhibition game last night with those ticket prices against name anybody in the American, how many people would have been there? Not that many. So you put those prices on. So the opponent does matter. Who you were playing on the schedule matters for fan excitement.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, Mark's going to join the program. We will welcome back Mark Giannotto next, right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Pleased to welcome back to the airwaves the former lead sports columnist for the Commercial Appeal. He was a top 10 columnist in the United States. He was also a top 3 columnist in the state of Tennessee, barely. He's now the national trending sports reporter for the USA Today Sports Network on Twitter, on X, at MGNotto. Mark, good day, sir.
I wasn't sure if you would remember the introduction.
I wrote it from memory. It is amazing. If you just get out of the habit of a little bit, I was like, I think that was all the beats, but
yeah, no, and it makes you remember all the times you came up with those whatever all the reasons why I got those monikers. I will say I am a national trending sports reporter, not the national. But tell your story, right?
You know? Yes, yeah, of course. I don't know if technically Topmeyer is a senior national sports column or college football columnist, but he is the on the show.
Ah, there you go. Yeah. Listen, VA, they're the same thing. Well, it's good to be back. I'm glad I'm a big enough guest to come on your show. I mean, I'm honored.
Well, I mean, again, we're not giving you a locked in spot. We've booked you for today. We didn't put you in a permanent spot. I'll get with your people, but I mean, there's going to be some back and forth. Let's just leave it at that. All right,
I will say a lot has happened since I left. It's been like 4 months, and like feels like we crammed in like 2 years worth of Memphis stuff into 4 months.
Well, we did fire an entire coaching staff in September, and that was in fairness, the basketball program gave us like a year's worth of drama in a span of like 10 days.
And then you also had the first time Memphis has ever turned down a conference publicly, right? Probably.
Yes, I think that's probably true.
Maybe they've turned down someone privately in the past and it's never gotten publicized, 20, 30, 40 years ago, maybe. I don't know. But at least publicly, I can't remember.
In my lifetime,
turning down a conference.
In my lifetime, that is true. Did you get a look at last night?
So I recorded it and meant to watch it. And I'm going to be honest, I did not watch it yet. I might watch it tonight, the exhibition game. I'll say this, though, and it applies, honestly, all the stuff going on with Memphis basketball. My problem with getting jazzed up about watching the game last night from a basketball perspective, because it sounds like, just from reading the stories that the Commercial Appeal and the Daily Memphian have done, sounds like a great event. And potentially an even bigger event for the city next year if they're able to turn this into a regular season, kind of basketball event here in Memphis, college basketball event. Or I shouldn't say here, but in Memphis. But I just keep going back to they were 15-2 last year, Jeffrey, and then everything came apart. So like to make a judgment on to be able to, if they look great, you would be getting way ahead of yourself declaring them, some great team, and if honestly they had looked bad, you would be getting way ahead of yourself saying they were a terrible team, because we've seen with this program right now, I don't know if you can totally trust what your eyes are telling you in October, if that makes any sense.
No, it makes total sense, but also you factor in, we think Carolina's good, but I mean, this wouldn't be the first time if Carolina was a top 10 team and played their way out of contention. We have no context for what the level of opponent was.
Also, the flip side is they lost by a dozen to a team that wasn't playing with the best player.
Correct.
You went through any way you want.
Yeah, and if you went through the if you went through like just the stat sheet, it was basically like almost every significant number was dead even except for one, and Memphis got outshot from three. Like it was, and like you can kind of do the math there, but and then you had a post game afterwards. Penny's like, "We're not really running our stuff. Like we were just getting out there trying to play," and so trying to make
it. I mean, that's what he does every year, to be honest. Like if you go back and look at quotes from the first games of whether they're exhibitions or the early season games, like you know he's. It has always been a work in progress from an implementation standpoint. I just go back to this is a results year. My say doesn't matter in this, but like I don't care what it looks like as long as they get to the NCAA tournament. Like that's all that matters this year. Like it is a pass fail type of year for Penny Hardaway. If they don't make the NCAA tournament, I mean it's pretty clear to me. If you're Memphis, you need to take a serious look at the future of the program and how you're moving forward. And if he makes the tournament, I think it eases a lot of the pressure on him right now. I think it's that really that simple. It's that cut and dry. If he can, go to the Sweet 16, that'd be great. But ultimately, given how last year played out, to me, that's how you're looking at this year. Like, it's just make the tournament. I don't care what it looks like in October. I don't care what it looks like in November. I don't care what it looks like in January. I care that on Selection Sunday, Memphis is listed on the bracket in the NCAA tournament again.
Yeah, and I think that's right with the one simple caveat, and I don't get the sense there's tremendous worry, but I would at least throw out the caveat, pending NCAA stuff.
Yeah,
which
that's always a curveball. But I honestly think, ultimately my gut tells me it's going to come down to whether the NCAA investigation ends up hurting them or not in some form or fashion. Ultimately, the school's the one that's going to have to decide to fire him if they were to fire him at some point. And they're not going to fire him if he makes the NCAA tournament.
No, and I think if they make the NCAA tournament, I think everyone's just going to take a breath and be like, all right, let's get this back on the rails.
Yes.
I think where we are.
Did Penny, make it? I think Penny's approach to the off season, was weird, and I think he's left himself open for criticism because it's weird. If he wins, he can say, "Listen, you may think it's weird, but this is what we needed to do for the program." If it doesn't work, you're going to look back and go, "Man, like the signs were all there that this was just this guy doesn't, this guy isn't doing what he's supposed to be doing as head coach. Like something's wrong here." And so, it all comes down to just, the results of this season. I think everyone's beyond the point of, like, and I guess I shouldn't say everyone, but I think most even, blue-haired Memphis fans are approaching this season as, all right, we want to see results here.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And, like, I do think part of that, part of the preseason has been a lot of people going, we've all heard all the hype before, like go out and show it. So I wanted to get to from one favorite son to another.
Mm.
We got Kirby Smart, and Mark's got a big story up over at USAtodaySports.com. And before we get into any of it, Mark, I know I've played it for you once, but Kirby Smart pulled a Bobby Bowden, and I will, before I tee up Dennis, here's one of the quotes that I gravitated towards, got the highlight out. When you have 130 17-23-year-olds, you're going to have issues. It's not going to be perfect, and I certainly recognize we've got to do a better job. But it's hard. It's hard on our staff because we got really good kids. We got really good people. And for those that don't ever remember, this is the late, great Tim Wilson on why Bobby Bowden was his favorite football coach.
My favorite football coach, Bobby Bowden from FSU. Not because he's a great winner, because he's a tremendously classy loser. They'll say, Coach, you sucked out there today. We did, but we got good kids. Our quarterback couldn't keep nothing on his stomach. He had diarrhea at halftime. Had to get him a bottle of Kaopectate, white stuff on the football so I could have. It's a good kid. His mama brought it to the game. She's a good lady, good kid. Coach, your team stole half the shirts out of a Dillard's. They did. But they're good kids. They was trying to get their grandmama something for Christmas and didn't realize they were in the men's department. Your entire team cheated on a test. This is a music test. We're going to Music City Bowl. I thought that'd count for something. A daggum internet test. Sorry, teacher. Coach, your team just robbed a 7-Eleven.
They did. They did.
But they thought it was terrorist money, trying to get the money back to its rightful owner. Bobby will cover a kid's ass, won't he? Sheesh.
Yeah, no, you played that for me before in the past. And he does a great impression of Bowden.
They did.
I mean, yeah, it's interesting. Cause the story, it came out in conjunction. Every year, USA Today has their annual college football coaches compensation database. They kind of release an update of it and list, now that I'm behind the scenes of it, it is a lot of work because they, they're literally having to track down every single contract in the country. And some schools are cooperative and some schools are not. But Kirby Smart, I kind of did the centerpiece along with Steve Berkowitz at USA Today for this project, if you will, this annual project. And it was about Kirby Smart, because he's now the highest paid coach in the country, supplanting Nick Saban. Georgia made him the first $13 million college coach this past year. And as in line with that, recording you played of Bobby Bowden, the optics, I think, are a little complicated ultimately because, yes, he's won huge at Georgia. Back-to-back national championships. If you look at the revenue generated over his 9 seasons as head coach, it's unbelievable how much more money they're making and spending on football at Georgia now under Kirby Smart. He's worth it in that regard, it would seem. But you've got this other side of it where his program, and I don't know if it's fair to say they're like modern-day Florida State, but the reality is the off-field headlines for that program really since their last national championship have just piled up. I mean, they've had in some of them well-publicized, but there's been at least 30 different traffic-related incidents in the last less than 3 years involving Georgia football players, and it's continued into this season. The notable one that everyone heard about was when the accident involving Jalen Carter that ultimately killed someone. It was some, drag racing. But, the crux of the story was, what responsibility does Kirby Smart, the highest-paid coach in the country, bear for that? And, I think it depends who you ask, ultimately. And I think what you've noticed about Kirby recently, and as part of this, Georgia and Kirby Smart did not want to talk to me for this story.
No way.
But I probably watched 50 different press conferences or interviews Kirby Smart has done in the last couple years as part of this story. And it's clear over the last 6 months his tone has changed. He's taken on more responsibility. But it's a really fascinating story to report on. I hope people listening will maybe give it a chance to read it over at usada.com because it also kind of not only sheds light on what's, the behind the off-the-field stuff, which I think has gotten its share of publicity, but also kind of the inner workings of the money at Georgia and just how staggering the amount of money is they're spending on football. And not just them, honestly, other, they actually are not spending the most in the country on college football right now. They're among the top five, but they're not spending the most. But by our calculations, Jeffrey, Georgia is spending $29 million on salaries related to the football program alone this year. $29 million.
And I guess, though, because to me there's a couple of key questions, because you also mentioned the Knight report in which Georgia's now crossed the threshold that, what is it, their crossover threshold, I believe, is the term.
They call it the crossover point. It's when you spend more on your head coach and his 11 assistants than you do on the entire athletic department's athletic scholarships, financial aid, medicals, and
athlete scholarships, medical expenses, and financial aid for the entire athletic department.
There's 9 as of 2022. There are 9 schools that have crossed over that point, including Georgia. They predict half of the Power Four will cross over in the next decade or so.
And so that was kind of the key question that I have is Georgia's obviously, for all the reasons that we've just laid out, Georgia's going to be a focal point. But I did find myself wondering, is this just the cost of winning now?
Well, to that point, when I looked into it, you know, like ultimately, like you can say Georgia's paying a boatload of money for Kirby Smart, more than anyone in the country, $13 million. But if you go by how much they've spent on their football head coach since Kirby Smart became head coach, and I put this in story, you include Mark Richt's buyout in that too, they've still spent less on their head coach during those nine seasons than Texas A&M will have, than Florida will have, than Alabama because Saban was the highest paid for so many years, more than LSU, because ultimately, when you get a great head coach, it's cheaper to keep them than to be firing guys and finding the next, you know, a great head coach. Once you find them, it's cheaper to keep them, ultimately.
Yeah, and I think you're right. The thing that I think has changed a little bit in the last couple of incidents that they've had, it's now gone from speeding car-related to now the allegations are physical abuse. And I do think that's also why you've seen, because I think for a while, I think you were probably able to say, you know, speeding amongst youth is way up. Like, we're not saying it's a non-story, but it's like, you know, this is a nationwide problem rather than it's just us. But then when you start to have the allegations they've had in the last couple, I think that's also why you see Kirby taking a different tone.
Well, and I think what I found really is, because, you know, that question of how much responsibility does he bear, I don't really know the answer. What I've found, and again, I've never even met Kirby Smart, but I've now watched him speak to reporters a lot over the past few months. And what I've gathered about him is he's neither a villain nor some great guy. Like he strikes me as a guy who like wants to just win football games. And does he like ignore the off-field stuff? No. I think they're doing stuff to try and address it. I don't think that's just lip service when he says it. I also think because they're winning, are they doing it necessarily with the urgency? Is anyone involved, the athletic department, anyone doing with the urgency they would if, say, Kirby Smart's program was not rolling like it has the last 5-6 years? You know what I mean? Like, I think it's, the reality is, it's a, in some ways, just a tale as old as time. As long as Georgia football's winning big, the people in charge there are, you know, as long as it's not too bad, they're going to kind of look the other way. That's just, you know, and that's not unique to Georgia.
No, it's Topmeyer and I have talked about this a little bit. Just in the last, like, handful of years, you know, sub 5 years, you know, 5 years or fewer, the tenor, even amongst what is said publicly. I mean, think about it. Like, I know Gundy can be a loose cannon wild card, but I mean, we've had Gundy have his best player get arrested for DUI and then go and say, well, you know, his punishment's going to be, I'm going to give him the ball more. And, you know, hey, yeah. I think back all the times I had a couple of too many and got behind the wheel. And, you know, like, it's amazing how, even as fans, we've kind of just decided it's like, all right, well, you know, if it's a big game, like maybe we can sit out, you know, one of the FCS games and whatnot. Like
I'm sure
like a public perception too. Like, you know what I mean? Like, everyone's kind of changed their attitudes in general.
I'm sure most Georgia fans read my story. If they did read the story, read it and went, all right, so what about Texas this weekend?
Yeah.
You know, like,
well, I mean, think about, you and I were kind of joking, but when Mozzie got arrested for, what was it, speeding, and he had a gun or weed, what did he have in his car?
He had a gun in his car,
and then we find out later, you know, 48 hours, the charges are different. I look to you and go, Michigan's ready to win big. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's, and sure enough,
a year later, they won a title.
Yeah, so that is kind of I think that's the complicated thing for me, because also it's like, all right, you look at other programs that are not having this many issues. It then begs the question, like, is Georgia different, or is certain things getting public? Are they, like, I think that's kind of the big struggle that I have. It's like, Ohio State's not having this, but it's like, okay, well, I mean, Ohio State doesn't have a title to show for it in this Kirby era, whatnot. So, like, I think that's kind of where I don't really know what the answer is, because I'm with you. I think what's obvious to me with Kirby is he 100% responsible for this? It's like, no. Like, and that's insane. I actually don't even think anyone's holding him to that standard. No. I think the key difference is most reasonable people don't believe it's 0%.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, this weekend, I think I don't know if telling's the right word, because I don't think they'll be eliminated from the playoff race if they lose to Texas. But, you know, they haven't looked like juggernaut Georgia since the second half of the Clemson game, it feels like. And
so what's weird to me
is that a momentary lapse, you know, and they'll look great against Texas this weekend, or are we starting to see, you know, some chinks in the armor, so to speak, you know, because ultimately no dynasty lasts forever.
Yeah, I think, because I'd mentioned this yesterday to Tim, the thing that's odd to me about Georgia this year is I know Carson Beck has thrown a couple of bad picks, but weirdly, I trust their offense way more than I trust their defense right now. And it's like, you and I were talking about this a little bit on Saturday off the air. While we both thought that Ohio State-Oregon game was awesome and an absolute thriller, we both were kind of like, man, I don't know. They look like they're in a different tier of Texas. But, you know, we haven't seen Texas play a team that really has a good quarterback. And
yeah.
Will Texas look... Like, to me, like, this is an interesting aspect of Saturday. It's like, will Texas look like kind of other teams in the SEC that we thought were really good coming in, where it's like, oh, they've got some holes too? Or are we going to see in Georgia, you know, if Georgia wins this game, they're now all of a sudden they've got the best win in the country. And yeah, they lost, they lost on the last possession at Alabama in a game that they trailed, 28-7 or 30-7, whatever it was. And
yeah.
Like, all is well. I think those are kind of the interesting questions.
Yeah, no, I can't wait for that one this weekend. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. But Georgia feel like I don't know if I trust Georgia, but I think Georgia is the one team that has a ceiling that feels like it's the same as Texas right now. I'm not sure if there's another team in the country with the ceiling Texas has other than them. I don't know if I would pick anyone else to beat Texas. That being said, again, I haven't seen that version of Georgia except for the second half against Clemson, it feels like.
Yeah, and you know, as Clemson's gone on to, you know, like, this is kind of the big complaint I have, and we'll wrap up with you here. I feel like we've gotten addicted to declaring teams dead a little too early, and I think part of it's because we're used to, you lose this kind of game, it's over, and it's like, man, guys, it's a 12-team playoff. They're going to have to pick 12 teams, and teams are going to have L's. And it's like, we declared Clemson dead, and, you know, it's turned out, you know, Clemson did not play well that game. That was very obvious. But, you know, Georgia hasn't played to that level since that game. But Clemson has shown, like, they're not a bad team. And so, like, I do think you're right that Clemson has that
Miami's in. Georgia ranked ahead of them. I'd pick Clemson to win the ACC right now. I know Miami's ranked ahead of them, but I'd pick Clemson to win it.
The one hesitation I have is I'm not sure Klubnik is as good as Cam.
Yeah.
But I also don't know if Miami's defense is as good as Clemson's. All right, I know you got places to be and whatnot, so I'll have my people get with your people. We'll make sure we have you back on a little bit more regularly.
Perfect. Man, it was good talking to you. Good to talk to everyone in Memphis for a little bit. Thanks for having me on, man.
All right, that is Mark Giannotto, of course, the national trending sports reporter for the USA Today Sports Network. All right, let's get into the list. Want to get to a couple of different topics when we come back. Want to get more specifically into what we actually saw from the Tigers last night. We'll discuss that and more when we come back into the list, maybe get into some of that coaching salary story as well. Then we're also going to have CJ Hurt. Always love having CJ with us. We'll talk some Grizz and more with him when he joins us during hour number two. Stick around. You're listening to Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.